Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, babe.
Come on.
Oh, babe.
Come on.
Oh,
it gets even better.
Stays hot. I ain't gotta get my buzz back. What everybody trying to be now, I was that. They could never stop me. That's why I love rap. Been living the life, crazy ice. With the baddest chicks in the world, maybe twice. The swag, the gear, the bread, all the whips is a year ahead. I only fear the feds. 45 on the other side of the peephole. Headshot from point blank, call it a free throw. Funny, cause I had the vision since Coleco. Back then, still ain't reached my peak though. Louis Lopez, yeah, Polo Pico. Call me whenever the bosses meet, yo. I drove Poppy crazy, so the industry's never gonna stop me, baby.
You can't stop me now, you can't stop me.
Can't stop me. Whether I'm on Fifth or LA or swap me. It's all good, cause I know the gangsters got me. First things first, the jaws of broccoli. I treat the rap game like a large monopoly. One on one, niggas can't guard me properly. And when they double team me, the odds are sloppy. I move like some 80 milligrams of oxy. Send your sister back to your family, not me. Got too hot for the grams, he got weed. In the rap bracket, he remains the top seed. Revolver hold six, quick to blow three. Audio heroin, so you don't OD. Shooters know you, but you don't know me. The block is crazy, can't stop me, baby.
Edition of Detroit Sports Rap. I am your host, Big C, in the building, bringing to you, coming to you live from Detroit. We have a live show for you today. We're going to talk about the NBA Finals as LeBron and the Cavs get ready to face off with Golden State and Steph Curry. We're going to talk about the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, which also kick off this evening. Chicago putting together a little bit of a dynasty, a little bit. Going for the third cup in 6 years, face off against Tampa Bay Lightning, which the GM is Steve Yzerman, formerly of the Red Wings. So, intriguing series there. Talk a little bit about the University of Michigan softball team. We don't really get into softball that much, but since our Tigers aren't really doing very much right now, and U of M softball team is going for a national championship tonight, and the deciding game against Florida, so we're going to talk about them a little bit. touch a little bit on OTAs, news and notes from the Detroit Lions, as well as some information from around the league. A lot of going-ons, happenings, if you will. We had AP returning, and we had some word a little bit on Tom Brady's appeal. So a lot of things to talk about today. And then we're going to delve into the fantasy football world. You know, that's very, very near and dear to me and Elliot's heart. We're getting closer and closer to the season. I continue to tell everyone, you need to do your homework, just like in real sports. Championships are won in the summer. So you got to put in that work for you. So we're going to give you, you know, a couple primers today. We're going to talk a little bit about some deeper sleepers, you know, some guys who may be outside the top ranks overall, guys maybe outside of the top 15 at quarterback, top 30 at receiver, maybe top 25 or 30 at running back. Maybe some guys, you know, you know have a chance to take later in the draft, can throw a lottery ticket out there. But we're going to get started. LDD Dogs should be joining us shortly. We're going to talk a little bit about our Tigers. Currently struggling. Losers of five straight. Got swept out in Anaheim. Lost yesterday to the Oakland Athletics, one of the worst teams in baseball. And currently down 4-0 in the top of the fourth. It's been a rough week or so for these guys. They're already kind of, you know, treading water a little bit, but it's really gotten bad. We had a couple key injuries. Vic Martinez is still out. You know, we really need his bat in the lineup, but he's still ailing. Verlander has not returned from his injury. He did have a rehab start, and it was a little bit of a rough outing. He threw 79 pitches. In two-thirds innings, I believe he gave up three runs. There was an error amongst some of those plays that kind of led to some of those runs. But there was some thought that if he had a good outing, that he possibly could come back to Detroit and make a start. But they've decided that he's going to make another rehab start in Toledo and kind of work on getting his timing and his control back into play. Currently, man, we're in a downward spiral. You know, like I said, we've lost five straight, currently down 4-0, and the team itself is just utterly inconsistent. I mean, when we get decent pitching outings, we don't get the hitting. When we get decent hitting, our pitching falls apart. Hell diggity dog, man, tell me what's going on with the Tigers right now, man. They're real inconsistent, lose the five straight. Slowly but surely falling out of contention in a tough
going on six straight. Five straight, going on six straight. You had it right, you know what I'm saying? 4-0. You pretty much summed it up, man. They can't do a complete game, basically. That's what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? The pitching looks good, then, you know, the hitting doesn't come through. Hitting comes through, the pitching doesn't come through. The pitching and the hitting comes through, but the bullpen doesn't come through. Anyway, go, man. It's this team right here, it's utter junk right now. You know, first of all, everybody wanted them to play in a harder division. They're talking about, you know, back then, they said this is a hard division. Careful what you want, and you wish for it, because now you got it. So mediocrity play would not work no more in this division, because this is the toughest division right now in baseball. I was telling that wait and see coach last week. I said, give him some time to see what's going on before I said anything about a panic button or things like that. I've seen it. It seems like any better. Verlander's rehab start was a pitch. They say the most. That's to give it the best. We're tough. And it ain't a trade or two for making it better. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the case. You got to trade and flip the whole damn team in. You know what I'm saying? How you playing whatever the card game is, poker. You can throw in some cards, get some more. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. We can throw this whole card in, this whole team in. We need some more. Outside of Cabrera, but then what's the first picture we hit?
Well, it's been interesting because I think they have the component of a decent offense. When you look at some of the guys who've been, you know, doing particularly well, Cespedes has been doing, you know, fairly well. J.D. Martinez has had some timely hits. We have big questions about Anthony Ghost at the top of the lineup. He's hitting over 300. Iglesias is hitting over 300. Kinsler has been a bit of a disappointment. I think he's hitting like 260, 270 or something like that. And that's kind of hurt us. We've had some base running errors. We've just really hit a lull. We're really missing. It's just something continuity-wise is not happening for us to really, really get over the hump. We're leaving a lot of runners on base, and we're just not able to score runs right now.
Well, Carl, here's the thing. We throwing our numbers, right, with they batting. 320, 350, 370. That sounds great. You know what I'm saying? Or you could be batting a 190 or 200, but if you hit it in clutch situations, I'm happy for it. You said something that was very key. We leave too many players on base. We lead baseball in all the double plays, 56 or 57. We hitting the more double plays. It's ridiculous, okay? We try to bunt. You know what I'm saying? We get on base, cool, because we got a couple of speed, but then we can't get them over. And we got into a double play. This offense, you know what I'm saying, the components, yeah, were there. Everything was there. But now it's nothing there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I hear what you say about people with some high batting averages, but if they're not doing it in key times of the game to get us a victory, that's nothing. Because what that means is they're hitting, you know, they're making these hits in scrap time. Or they're making these hits, you know what I'm saying, just to pat their numbers look good. I need to be consistent when it's two people on base. Give me a single. You know what I'm saying? Two people on base. Give me a sacrifice fly.
I think, unfortunately, they've got some guys on base, and unfortunately a couple guys who haven't been having, you know, the best of years. Castellanos has been a little slumping a little bit. Ardila's been hurt. McCann's done a solid job, had the walk-off the last time I think he won at the catching position. Just, you know, leaving guys on base. Just leaving guys on base. But let me ask you this about the pitching staff, because we are seeing some cracks in the arm. Sanchez is already going up four runs tonight. Simon has been solid. Shane Green has been up and down. Lobstein is a young guy who's getting good experience, but, you know, he can go either way. Verlander, rehab start, 79 pitches, 2 3/3 innings, 3 runs. 79 pitches in less than 3 innings, man, is really just there's a lot of control. A lot of lack of control there, man. A lot of pitches. Glad he was able to throw that with no pain, so that's good. Maybe it's just rest that we're having to work off. But is it imperative that he comes back ready to pitch at a, I don't want to say a particularly super high level, but definitely at a quality third or fourth starter level to get these guys back into contention, because now I believe they're 4 games out of first place in Minnesota, and Kansas City are showing no signs of letting up. Minnesota wasn't even supposed to be, you know, that deal this year. Torii Hunter's back over there showing great leadership and still playing well. And
yeah, it was supposed to be Cleveland that was supposed to be the team to win. That's what they said at the beginning of the year. Cleveland was supposed to be the team to win the division. But Minnesota came out of nowhere and is doing the thing. I'm going to tell you this, man. When Verlander comes back, okay, he has to be more than just the third, fourth pitcher. He has to be Verlander of old, which he isn't anymore, which is sad. That's how bad we need. The team desperately needs him to be that, okay? The continuity is off. Look at the people, lackluster effort, which goes back to the management. I said it before last week. The management is another question mark. Everybody wants to run a manager out of town. I try to give a minute to see what he's going to do. The team is not giving forth 100% effort at times. You see people that can, you know, that jogging down the baseline. People that's not diving for the ball. You see a lot of stuff out there that, you know, that it's like, okay, it goes back to hockey. Like, hey, man, you got to get this team to be sharp on everything, because the problem is the team is a victim of their own success. They've been winning and winning the division for so long, doing this for so long, that a slump like this, it's twice as bad because, you know, they don't realize. They can't just, you know, go on a 15-8 game tear and be back in the lead again, because Kansas City and Minnesota won't let up, like you said. They have to get all the stuff out. They gotta, you know what I'm saying, be gangbusters out there, and I don't see it right now.
Well, it's a long season. That's the good thing about it. We're only about 60 games in, 50, 60 games in, so they still got 100 games to go. That's a good thing for them. Verlander, real quick, we're going to get, you know, I'm going to say some, I'm going to get this point on an actual question, and we're going to wrap it up for the Tigers. I personally feel like he's not going to ever probably be Verlander of old. That's why I said a third, fourth starter. I mean, he was good for a while. He threw a lot of innings at a high velocity for a long time. He's had a couple of different injuries. I don't think he's going to be a 20 to 20-plus game winner. I'm looking at him more. I mean, I don't think he's going to fall off. I think if he really gets command of his pitches and gets some control together, maybe learns another pitch or two to add that to his repertoire, get some more movement on his pitches. His velocity, I believe, is not going to come back. They said he was throwing at 94 to 96, which ain't bad, but it ain't 100. You know what I mean? It ain't 98.
Mm-hmm.
So develop some more pitches, some more, a little bit more technique. But I think I'm looking at him more as a somewhere between a 14 to 16 game type guy, winning type guy. Hopefully get his ERA down. But if he isn't the Verlander of old, like you say, real quickly, do we need to make a move to get another starter?
Yeah, is he, I'm not even hesitating. Looking at, but the problem with the city is everybody's too loyal to an old crow. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. We're too loyal to a fault as a city. I love thanks for the time, effort, and energy that you gave us while you was here, but this is a business. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's quick to say it, and I'm quick to say it now. This is a business. And the problem is I think he won't come back. Verlander role. You know what I'm saying? A tricep injury, not a tear, not a strain, or whatever it was, and he couldn't say what it was, has kept him out for the first half of the season. Okay? There's something else going on there. Next, and a tricep is something close to that elbow, which is, leads to the dreaded Tommy John surgery that we know that kills pitchers, especially one that throws such a violent motion and throws for so long as he does. You know, so his motion on the hill is so violent that, yeah, you know, that's why he's where he's at. We need to make a trade for him if we can.
Now's the time
to go ahead and, you know, cut bait with this man. You know what I'm saying? We paid him a good deal. Somebody eats that contract. Excellent. And let's try to get some youth in here. You know what I'm saying? We know it's a revolving door. And let's go ahead and get it going. Because I don't see nothing positive happening out of the team. And let's say make a few moves. Because the talent they have right now on the roster is not going to do it for us this year. If we're talking about making the playoffs or World Series, right now we're not going to do it.
Okay. Well, let's keep it moving, man. NHL, man, which starting up their Stanley Cup Finals tonight. Chicago versus Tampa Bay, man. Chicago, one of the original franchises out here. Very star-studded team, 3 to 4 Hall of Famers, a couple of them still in their prime. And my man Hoffa, I thought he had been hung him up. He's 37. He almost old as us, hell. Out here skating around, hitting guys on the blocks, man, on the wall,
yeah,
man. So, but Tampa Bay, man, the GM by none other, I should say. Steve Eisen, you know, our very own. He's got those guys right. This is going to be a high skill. I don't know much about hockey, but from what I'm understanding, what I'm reading and seeing is that this is going to be a high skill level contest. We got some guys who are really, really big and physical, who can really, really skate and get up and down. It says it's some very offensive-minded defensemen in this series. So they expect a really, really exciting series. Well, what should we look for, and who do you have in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, I don't have the Blackhawks. It's hard for me to root for Chicago, man, on any level. I mean, that's just me being a homer. But being honest with you, though, Eisman has a team that was built off of the teams that he had when he was, you know, with us. You know what I'm saying? Actually, that team popped us. And the thing is you want to understand is this team puts up a lot of points. They're known for scoring. They're a fast team. They're not a finesse. They're a fast physical team that crashes the net, gets a lot of rebounds, take a lot of shots on the goals, and that's how come they win. They were very dangerous, led the league in scoring this year, and they were very, very dangerous. You know what I'm saying? That's one of those teams that get on you quick, you would not come back on them because they will keep the pressure on you. And that's what just kind of makes me mad that the Red Wings lost to them in the playoffs because they could have been here. You know what I'm saying? That's the only hurdle they had. But I digress. That's what I'm going with.
Tampa Bay, huh? It's hard to go against four guys who possibly could be Hall of Famers, man. It's tough, though. I really like, I don't know much about them, but, and I haven't seen much of them. But they tell me that Tampa Bay has a goalie that's 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
And if this guy is able to crouch down and spread his arms out and kick his legs out and all that type of stuff, to protect the net, man. That gives them a heck of a radar. You know, that gives them a net in front of the net almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's
he's a beast in there.
I'm eager to see how that kind of works out. But it's hard to bet against four Hall of Famers, man, and I'm intrigued by this coach who's won two cups, going for his third, signed up for two more years at a rate of $2.75 or $8.5 million. What's his name? Quinville or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
If he wins this cup, now I am rooting for him to win this cup. It's hard to really root against Eisenman. I don't know. I don't know much about it, but I'm rooting for this guy to win this cup so he can get a contract bigger than Ballpack. Because, I mean, I'm going to tell you, you know, I defer to you on these issues. But to say that this guy, I know he only won one cup with us, and I know he won the gold or something with Team Canada or whatever, but this young man over here has won two cups. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's
getting it done over here, and he only making $2.7 million? Man, yeah, go ahead, man. Win the cup, man. Win the cup, dog.
When he left us, I told you, old boy left us, he went over to Sparta. I told you, he's going to a team that has basically nothing. So his success is, if he makes it to the playoffs, he's going to be crowned, you know what I'm saying, like the man over there. You know, so like I said, when he left us, it's cool. You know, saying so he wants to go with his home team, and that's no problem. But he's going to a situation where he set up, I can't say a fail, but damn to fail. Let's make a few key moves quick. But like I said,
I'm not gonna say fail because I think everybody involved understands that they aren't as bad as you say they are. But first of all, any positivity would be great. Like you said, if they make the playoffs the first year, they'll be, you know, that'll be a step in the right direction. But I think no one thinks it's gonna be a quick turnaround at all. I think they're definitely thinking about at least 2 to 3 years of developing talent. Bringing in talent, developing talent, acquiring talent, and then maybe 4 or 5, hopefully at that point, once the talent has been acquired and seasoned a little bit, contending. You know, I don't think they expect them to come in. And I don't know. You tell me. I mean, I don't know if they have they're a young team that's talented or they're just.
Well, this is the problem. They got a lot of turnover over there right now. You know what I'm saying? This is a team that, you know, they always have high expectations, but those are just fans fooling themselves. The thing is with Toronto is this. They have a few draft picks because they're crappy. They have an excellent feeding system, though. That's another thing they have. They have a lot of, I want to say, process. They got a lot of people over there that they can rely on to trade and everything else. That's a good thing you'll have. He's going to have control of this team as well. He's going to be, not going to say a GM, but he has the right to veto any trade in any, you know, he's going to step in and ask whoever he wanted. That was something he didn't have. Excuse me. That's something he didn't have here. When he asked for some players, they had to go through, you know, they had to go through the chain of command, and he lost on a few good talent that he could have got. So with that free range, you know, and like you said, he coaches the Olympics. So he sees some of that talent that he can get over to Toronto. He's going to get it. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I said, you know what? I'm trying to read up on, you know, this NHL, man, as I'm looking at it.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I'm torn, man, because we do have Eisenman, man, but it is Tampa Bay, which, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, you know, Tampa Bay is a scoring machine now. Don't forget about Tampa Bay, how much they scored. They scored quick and often. You know, so that's a team that, you know, if they down 2-0, that doesn't mean that they're out. Remember that. You know, so that happened with the Red Wings. If they're down, does not mean they're out. They can go on a run just like that. Next thing you know, you're down 4-2, 5-2. You know what I'm saying? They're a very aggressive team. They take chances. You know what I'm saying? They will, you know, it'll be a game or two where they look like they're lackluster. They ain't got nothing to, you know, go off of. But then they will bring it right after that.
Well, let me tell you this. This is what's going to be my deciding factor. I could just really looking at it and just thinking about this last factor real quick. I'm going with championships, man. These guys have won 3 championships in the last 6 years, so they've been in the mix.
True.
They've been there. They know the pressures of this game. They know clearly how to win it.
So I'm going to go with those boys, Chicago, man. It's, my mind is saying follow you, man, but I'm going to go with my heart, man. We do it for the Midwest, man. I got love for Chicago, man. The family in Chicago, man, so they go ahead and do their thing. But let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk briefly about the only thing that's really going down really good at Michigan right now, these girls softball currently down 3-0 on the bottom of the second, playing for the deciding game in the national championship game. I'm really so angry right now because I don't know if you watched game one or not, but I missed the whole game and turned on the last inning. Michigan was down by one run. They had one on first and third with one out. The girl grounded to short, but it was close to time, I think, right down the middle of the field. So the shortstop had to go to her left. She got it. She never checked the runner at third. She tried to get a double play. So they got the force at second. Tried to get a double play. And the young lady from third base did not come home to score to tie the game. And unfortunately, they lost that game for game one. I thought it may have been over then. It looked like it was a game-breaking moment. But at the same time, they came through yesterday with a 1-0 win victory. So currently, they are down 3-0 in the deciding game against the University of Florida. I guess Florida is the number one seed. I don't know if this is their ranking or their seeding, but they're number one. Michigan's the number three seed. Kudos to that program and what they've accomplished up there, getting them on a national stage, getting them out there on ESPN in the big championship game. We hope, pray that you can come on back. But it's 3-0 currently right now, man. You got anything to say about the girls' softball, man?
Good luck.
You got a little softball player, right?
Well, I got two. They're, you know, they're two baseball players right now, but yeah, Shawty's going to play softball. Yeah, good luck. You know, saying to the ladies, I'm glad they're representing, you know, the state of Michigan very well. They're in college. There's no more brain parts, basically. What it sounds like to you is something that's going on with the Tigers. a hiccup. We want to make sure that we
It was crazy. This is a big time situation, so somebody clearly froze. But I'm like, the head coach is actually the third base coach as well. So
yeah,
I'm like, did she tell her to go when the ball was hit, or did she just expect her to go? Because at the end of the play, after they got the force at second and didn't get the play at first, there was a situation, a replay where they showed her yelling at her like, you know, hey, you know, you got to go. She mouthed it like, you got to go. And I'm like, man, did you tell her to go or did you scream at her or did she just freeze or what happened? What happened there? So it was a key moment, but currently 3-0. We can keep it transitioning, man. Talk about the NBA Finals, which I think is going to be extremely interesting. We've got the Cavaliers of Cleveland coming in with LeBron James, who's playing some of the best basketball, I think, mentally he's played probably ever. I know statistics are saying he's not shooting well, especially at the three-point range, and he's turning the ball over a little bit. He's also grabbing 13, 14 rebounds a game, eight assists. You know, he's able to control the game from a lot of different areas. Sometimes the point guard position, still attack scoring wise. He's doing a lot of things for that team. But it was an interesting analytics stat that came out today on 538 Sports. They had a list of teams and supporting cast. They had the star players like LeBron and Steph Curry, and they listed everyone else kind of and evaluate everyone who they call the supporting cast of these guys. And funny, they said that the current Cavs team, I know we had a little debate, and I know you don't like young LeBron, but at the same time, I'm going to say the current Cavs team was rated the third worst supporting cast ever to come into the finals, man. So it's not like – and I I don't know if they're that bad. The second worst was the 2017 from the Cavs, and the worst was the 1999 Knicks with John Starks and Larry Johnson in them, which very well could be. But at the same time, these aren't the best players. They're playing very well with LeBron, and I think it's going to be interesting because Golden State, their supporting cast for Steph Curry and them was rated the 14th best supporting cast coming in. These are all the teams that will come into the finals, which is a fairly lofty ranking for a team that has no, no real championship experience. LeBron has started more playoff games than the whole starting five for the Golden State Warriors. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how these guys will come in here. The X factor for both teams, when you look at Kyrie Irving and his injury, how well is he going to be for this series? I think if he can be 85 to 90%, if he can get there, they can definitely be competitive and win. I think anything less than 80%, it's going to be tough for them to pull on out because, I mean, you look at this Golden State team. I mean, I look at their team, and some of these guys, I even forgot were in the league, but they, when you look at them, they have numbers. David Lee has put up great numbers in this league, and he comes off the bench and barely plays. Livingston is a guy who's had injuries in this league and would otherwise would have been special, but his career was kind of deterred a little bit. Then you have somebody like Iguodala, who we saw play at an all-star level, starting for a team like Philadelphia, has humbled himself and come over here in the search of a championship, and he comes off the bench and kind of serves as a defensive stopper. So this is a unique team, a unique little mix that they have going on, and it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be interesting to see the matchup because I think Golden State does have a better team. They can run, lift the team up to match the talent of Golden State for seven games.
You
want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm thinking about this. Golden State, up the dome, has a better team. And that's not being a LeBron hitter or nothing like that. If you look at them, they have an excellent team. They shoot the three like nobody's business. They can post up. They can drive to the hole. They got everything that you want on a team. You know what I'm saying? They can play physical. They can play defense. They can play everything. I told you, we said this last time, we were playing Houston. The thing with this is Golden State has to come out and set a presence and set it early. They can't let – well, you know, they're going to have to do what back in the day what Pistons did to L.A., what San Antonio Spurs did to Miami, you know what I'm saying? They can't let LeBron James – you know, if LeBron just going to get off and get his 30 points, don't let nobody else get their supporting cast and do what else. You see what I'm saying? They're going to have to – you got two of the best point guards going against each other this game right here. Hey, that's not being funny. That's just being for real about it. You got to, like I said, each team has a great supporting cast. I think Golden State will win, to be honest with you. But right now, like I said, you can't let LeBron get on the hot streak. You can't let him go. You can't. You got to get him off his rock. You know what I'm saying? You got to out-rebound him, out-hustle him, and a little bit out-muscle him, physical him. So you got to trade off different people to get on him. You got to do that. But then, like I said, you know, they got some good players around LeBron. But just don't let nobody else get hot.
I'm sorry, I didn't say the other X factor for Golden State. I think they have a number of X factors, but Klay Thompson is going to be, I mean, the real X factor. If he can really take some of that pressure off of Steph and do some big things offensively and defensively, because he's going to be responsible for LeBron a little bit, as well as J.R. Smith and Shumpert, and those two guys have really, really played well alongside of LeBron. It's going to be imperative that he have a big, big, big showing and a big presence in this series. I said last week I was taking Cleveland. I've looked at it, I reevaluated it, I've looked at it again and again and again. And unfortunately, man, I think I'm going to stay with Cleveland, and I'm going to put a small caveat on, if you will. And that caveat is going to be depend on Kyrie. Kyrie has to be 80%. When he's out there for them to compete. Somebody's got to stay in front of Curry or try to stay in front of Curry and put pressure on him offensively and, defensively and make him do something when he's on defense as well. You got to try to work him out as well. So it's going to be key that Kyrie's out there. With that being said, they do have guys like
I forgot his name. I don't want to say his Metalovely, the other point guard, I should say, who's definitely made some plays out there and knocked some shots down. They have a couple guys, Tristan Thompson and Mozgov. Those guys are going to be X-Factors and see if they can counter the front court play of Bogut and your boy Draymond Green. So it's going to be interesting. Some interesting matchups. Got two strong defensive teams. Golden State was the number one defensive team in the NBA. LeBron has looked good, but with that being said, we know the teams in the East that he's played aren't quite the teams in the West. So it's very interesting, man, how this is going to go. But I think a little bit is going to be personal because you have LeBron, who is the best player in the world, who can arguably be the MVP year in, year out, going against the new guy. And Steph Curry, who's been kind of anointed, you know, the golden boy, MVP this year. Got his daughter out there coming to the press conference. He's kind of everybody's darling.
His daughter stepped up and taken over. Two interviews now, which is adorable. You know what I'm saying? She's saying that she knows he's going to win that championship.
Don't be surprised if LeBron asks for that defensive assignment on more than one or two occasions to get Steph Curry, just to straight up try to lock him up, to be a long defender in front of him and somebody who will put the pressure.
Here's the thing, though, which is cool, but what's that, Raymond Green from Michigan State could arguably be the third or fourth best player out on that court once you take away LeBron and Curry. That's for real, though. You know what I'm saying? He is a force to reckon with. He's somebody that does all the intangibles that you want out there for him. So, like I said, they got that depth. They attack you away, and I see they're gonna. I see them coming away with a victory in this series for real.
Okay, I'm gonna go with and I think it's another very very informative stat. It doesn't hold true to this series because they haven't played in the finals. But LeBron has won a road game in the 11 straight playoff series. So they could possibly win and go to State and win in three games at home. But I'm not gonna say it's gonna happen, but I'm gonna go seven games here. I'm gonna go Cavs. I think LeBron is on a mission. I think he's trying to prove himself one of the best out here. You know, he's on a mission, man. He's got a decent team around him. I mean, the story would be great for him to come home and win a championship in his hometown team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the city of Cleveland hasn't won anything in 64 years, and they burnt this boy's jersey just four or five years ago, and now he's back to make good and bring a championship home. I mean, it's there. And I'm going to tell you, if he gets the defensive assignment 30-40% of the time against Curry. Ooh, I like that. I like him against Curry and Shumpert against Clay. And we'll go from there. We'll try to hide Kyrie somewhere. You know what I mean? But I like those odds right there. I like those odds. But we'll see, man. We'll see how it goes. Again, I think it's going to be some X factors. We talked about the bench players, basically the supporting cast, man. The supporting cast and how those guys play is going to be key. Now, I think what's also key, don't count off the coaching of Steve Kerr. I know some people want to say that this is Mark Jackson's team, and it is his team from the personnel standpoint. But Steve Kerr was able to take them to a level Mark Jackson couldn't take them to. He got a couple extra players that helped him out. But at the same time, this guy has championship experience himself from being with Jordan on the Bulls. He's worked his way up the pipeline and through the coaching. He knows a little something about basketball, man, and he might be able to, you know, do some things X and O's wise that David Blatt, who's in his first playoff, first championship. Some people say LeBron is coaching the team. Who knows? But he can put some pressure on that coaching staff, man. Yeah, I'm going Cavaliers in seven, man. You say you going Golden State in how many, six?
No, I got Golden State in six. Yeah, you can go to a seven-game series. But like I said, I mean, you know, let me see how game one goes, how they do the matchups and everything goes. I know it's a different game every time you play, and everything is, you know, it's a his coaching, which you got two good coaches going at it right now. But like I said, I believe Golden State will take this 6 or 7. I go Golden State 6.
Okay, okay. Let's keep it moving. We talked about the ladies softball. Any Michigan State football or basketball news that you want to touch on? I know you were Sparty. Any good news? I know you said something about Martinez being he's able to play this year. He's a linebacker, safety or something, freshman.
Oh yeah, yeah. I apologize. I don't know the kid's name, but yeah, he's gonna. He was a transfer.
Yeah,
Jamal Martinez. He came here. He's good. They said he could start. Not start, but he could play this year, which is a boost to their linebacker core. That's what I was telling you before that it was kind of weak at Michigan State. Now they add an extra depth from another person that come up there and bring a hat.
Okay. Michigan got a recruiter, and this is one near and dear to us. Offensive guard, defensive tackle, Michael Onwenu from Cass Tech, 6'4", 360. Cass is doing his thing down in Columbus. He's been invited to the opening, which is a big recruiting camp festivity, if you will, out in Oregon at the Nike facilities, where all of the coaches and things from all around the country are scouts, talent evaluators, et cetera, will be out there timing guys and looking at guys. And for those who are still uncommitted or undecided or unsigned or whatever, trying to get in their ear. So, definitely good to get an in-state recruit. Definitely good to get any recruits right now. I'm lagging a little bit behind Michigan State, who's doing a wonderful job getting guys from all over and filling out their class. Let's keep it moving. NFL, our favorite sport. A lot of things going on. This is the off season. Let's talk a little bit about our little Lions, OTAs, what we're hearing, some of the news and notes. So far, looks like Lincoln Thompson, our first-round pick, is currently playing behind Manny Ramirez right now at left guard, just trying to get his footing and then learn the offense. But they still said he's been impressive out there. Definitely his mental game, picking things up, has been good. They say your boy Ebron, he has dropped a couple balls out there, but they say he's physically looking like a beast, came back stronger, leaner, ready to make some plays. Hopefully he can translate to the field. And right now the defensive tackle rotation currently, Nada has been starting along with Tyron Walker, the guy we signed off the, from New Orleans. 6'4", I guess, 295, 300, currently starting at the D-tackle, running with the ones. And, you know, there's no pads on out here. So that's just a couple things I had. I know you said something, you were speaking highly of the cornerback from Texas last week. Any news and notes you want to share from the Lions, OTA?
The guy from Stanford, he has not been in a practice yet. So he's been doing, like, little stuff. I don't know why, because I don't know because he hasn't graduated. I don't know what rules they have in place for him. And he can't participate in any sort of thing. Okay, well, the guy from the one from Texas, they're speaking so highly of him right now. As they like his technique, they like everything about him right now. They're speaking of him as actually as a role. The nickelback, he would be a third defensive back thus far. Maybe he wants somebody to take the place of the other corner, opposite side of Slay. You know, because I think the one from Texas might go to safety. I don't know. The good thing about having this type of depth that we have right now, DB positioning, that's showing quality work, which is good. We needed some depth, 3D, at safety, 2-3 at corner, and everything else. We needed all that. So I'm looking forward to seeing, to hear more news about how the defense is, how we're playing. And then another thing, your boy Ebron. I know he's supposed to be big, physical, supposed to be the man, everything else. But here's the problem. He's dropping right now OTAs. You know what I'm saying? You got to drop them. So when you put the pads on, like you said, we're just in helmets and shorts. Everybody's supposed to look good. He's not looking good right now, helmets and shorts. So we want to make sure that, you know, he looks, you know, that whatever it is that he needs, I tell you, I think the boy needs glasses. Be honest with you, because, you know, anytime the ball coming at you, put your hands together first, they open them up, you smack yourself in the helmet. Here's a problem. and that's the truth. But we need to make sure that we have a contingency plan in place just in case he does not work out for us, even though he's a first-round pick. I want to see where we picked him from, this Pittsburgh, Lance Moore. I want to see how he looks in that offense because, like I said, he's a savvy vet and knows the offense. He's an integral part since because he played for the Saints. He rotated around every position. And it's somebody I think we need to get everything going.
Let me ask you this. What do you think about the defense, man, in that front, man, what we currently have right now? Does it inspire you? Is it going to be problematic?
Here's the thing, Carl. So, what our defense is what we have. We have okay? We have two defensive ends. Now, here's my question. Because everybody's talking about how our linebacker core is so stout and everything is so legit with our linebacker core right now. Then, Noy, can we rotate him down? Because he's, 250 pounds, 260 pounds? He's a middle linebacker that played in multiple fronts when he was over there. Can we roll him down as a defensive end sometimes just to keep that talent out there on the field? Because I don't think we got a lot of talent and depth as far as the defensive line goes. We lost too much and a couple of pickups, but we didn't make enough for me. We didn't make a big splash. Even though we picked somebody up later in the draft, we drafted somebody last year. We got a Nottie. And my thing is that defensive line, because we lost three. Here's the problem. We didn't lose this Sue and Fairley. You know, Fairley was okay because he wasn't in there, but we lost Moses. And if y'all didn't see Moses when he played, even though he got into a little bit of character issue trouble and they let him go, but he was a high tempo type of player. He was a beast. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I
think it's going to be interesting to see how they utilize the defensive linemen because they definitely right now went young and they definitely didn't go with your prototypical 4-3 type guys. You look at Nada, he's a big guy. He's a guy who can play nose in a 3-4. And because of his athletic ability and athleticism, he can be a solid D tackle for you in a 4-3. Gabe Northern, he's a younger guy, 6'3", 300 pounds. You think he's going to probably gain weight and get stronger, so he can possibly be an active D tackle where you want a 4-3, you know. But when you look at him, where does he fit in the 3-4? Maybe at one of the ends. I don't know. But then you look at the other guy, Tyron Walker, 6'4", 295. Is what he was listed when he was traded. I don't know what he currently is. Let's say if he gets the 6'4", 295, 300. You look at a guy like Anside, who's already 6'7", 290. You look at a guy, Caron Reed, who was drafted as a defensive tackle last year out of Princeton. He's, reportedly 6'4", just over 300 pounds. You have a lot of guys with a lot of versatility who can play inside, possibly in a 4-3, if you're trying to get some activity and mix it up in there. Maybe not big pluggers and maybe not great guy. Well, we don't know what they are in terms of pass rushers because we haven't seen the guys play. But, we haven't heard that we got a great pass rushing specialist on the interior in there either. But we also have some guys who I think can shift out, move out, and possibly play DNs in the 3-4. Not saying that we're going to go to that exclusively. And then I look at the linebacking core, and we have a couple of guys. Benoit is a guy that currently right now, if Tahrir Whitehead plays like he did, it's going to be hard for him to get on the field in the 4-3. It's going to be hard for him to get on the field in a regular rotation at the linebacker spot. They did kind of put him in from time to time.
Yeah. You hear me? Update real quick.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay is up 1-0 over Chicago. First period. Okay. All right, go ahead.
And we saw him a little bit as a situational pass rusher last year, late in the year, when he was finally healthy. Maybe we see a few more four linebacker situations where him may be coming off the edge, and then they have another guy
a bind because he's going to have to make the team. He played last year and played well on special teams and had actually had an interception in one of the games I was watching the other day, the replay. I think it was the Arizona game. Guy who has played with the defensive coordinator, under the defensive coordinator in Baltimore, has played in a 3-4 look, has played that outside linebacker spot, has been responsible for coverage as well as putting some pressure on the quarterback. I think they may have to switch things up a little bit to create the pressure that they're going to need to put on to move the quarterback and hopefully force him into mistakes, because they aren't going to have that big push in the middle anymore. And they're not, you know, they don't. George Johnson, I think Anzai's going to be a good player. So far, 15.5 sacks in two years, so I'm not mad at that. Possibly, you know, if he takes that next step to double the sacks, it'll be good. But at the same time, we lost George Johnson, who gave us 6 sacks last year and was our third leading sacker. So what some of these other guys can do. The guy from South Carolina, I can't remember his name, escapes me right now, the backup, he's 6'6", Devin Taylor, 6'6", 280, 290. So he's another guy that can be possibly 4-3 DN or 3-4 DN. Larry Webster, mm-hmm. the guy that we drafted last year, 6'5", he was 250 or 240, 250 last year. I'm guessing he put on some weight, but he may have flexibility to play a defensive end in a 3-4, I'm sorry, in a 4-3, or outside linebacker in a 3-4. So I'm looking for some different things, man, because I'm looking at how are we going to create a pass rush, and it's going to be probably with those linebackers, because Levy is a very good blitzer as well. You can bring him from the outside or inside, play him in the game with one of the linemen if need be. Tulloch is back. He's a solid blitzer as well.
Range. The thing with Tulloch, this is like with Tulloch. Tulloch, you know, say has a lot of range. You know what I'm saying? You play in a nickel formation. He stays on the field as well as one of the linebackers.
I think that may change because he's getting a little older. And last year, Levy and Whitehead did a great job out there.
Yes, they did.
And they
had Bynes.
Bynes came in as well on some of those nickel times as well, and that'll save him a little bit.
Right. That could be interesting because what you could do with that. My thing is, I was thinking because with that, you can put Benoit down as a DN to help with that rush, just a little bit more speed to come in that nickel formation to help create a push as well. I mean, to help collapse that pocket. My thing is, we have one corner that we know is a beast. We have two safeties that we know that can handle everything else. It's that other corner on the backside and that nickel that we want to make sure does not get exposed. I know you cannot hide so many players. We already know that. But the idea is to alleviate some of that stress off of them with that rush. You know what I'm saying? Now, with a constant rotation and disguise of how you're going to blitz, I don't want to see any zone blitzing, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Zone blitzes look good, but the thing is, I don't want to see no big linebackers, linemen dropping back into coverage. If you're going to blitz, bring some linebackers, the nickel back, bring them off that edge, you know what I'm saying, like how Charles Woods used to do, Green Bay, Oakland. You know, and get into it
and
like that. I mean,
Go ahead, man. Wrap it on up. We still in June, man. We don't have to get so technical, man. We still got a lot of stuff to get to, man. Wrap it on up, brother.
So check this out. But like I said, though, as long as we show different multiple fronts, I think that's what this defense is going to do. Because they keep saying we're going to be better than it was last year. And I think they're going to do that by disguising some things and showing a lot of different fronts this year.
Hey,
that's what I think that's going to be the plus with that defense.
Yeah, they're not going to be better than last year, though.
I mean, but that's what your defensive coordinator is telling everybody. That's what your coach is telling everybody. I know what he's supposed to say. But the thing is,
let's transition to AP.
The only thing that makes a change is we show different fronts. If we show different stuff to confuse it, we should be okay.
AP, back to training camp. Back, you know, doing what he does best, which is running the rock. We've debated about this a little bit, man. I think he's where he needs to be, man. I don't know what the issue was with him, but I know it was about money. But I don't understand, man, how he his stance on this and why he did what he did. But he's back out there, man. And what does this mean to him? And what does it mean to Minnesota?
Well, I mean, Minnesota has a legit running back because they didn't make a trade for none and they didn't draft none in the draft. Okay, their 1-2 punch did not excel or exceed anything except for the fact that, you know, it was for them that wasted the season. Adrian Peterson is an elite running back. He's in the top five, top four, top three. Maybe, you know, the Umu. But the thing is, it helps because they may Minnesota made other key additions like at receiver and, you know, tight end and lineman to get themselves better. It makes them a more dominant team as far as on the offensive side. This is a team you have to look out for now. Quarterback play was kind of, you know, he was a rookie, but he showed a lot of progress. That team went from a laughing stock in our division to a team that's competitive now.
Okay. Let's talk about Cam, man. 5 years, dog. $103.8 million extension. $67 million over the first 3 years. Over $30 million the first year. Total of $60 guaranteed. Is he worth it? Is he a franchise quarterback?
I mean, you got to think about it. Salary cap goes up. They got more profit share revenues. Cap space comes off the books for them. Yeah, he's worth it. He's what else you got out there? Honestly, what else can you pick up right now? I mean, if he hits the open market, another team's going to pick him up, you know what I'm saying, with ease. And Carolina's been rebuilding all over again because they don't have nobody. That offense is structured around Cam Newton, okay? It's you can't say it's a running gun. You can't say it's a drop back. You can't say it's a run. It's everything, and it's all around him. The whole offense flows through him. So, yeah, you got to pay the man. You know, you take him out that offense, you're done. You're going to try to run, and there's nothing else to defend outside of that. He's a high-power offense. He does good in fantasy because he runs and he passes. He has an excellent arm as far as the deep pass. A little bit of inaccuracy, but it's better than Matthew Stafford. And he has the actual legs that can run. So, yeah, pay the man. Excellent job.
Yeah, I think he's worth it as well. People talk about his overall record of 30-31, but he's been to the playoffs twice. They have to surround him with, you know, continue to surround him with good talent. And, you know, I think he's definitely worth it, man. Like you said, man, he's kind of a freak. We never really seen anything like him before. 6'5", 6'6", 250 pounds, but can run like a wide receiver or running back with a cannon of an arm. When he's on, he's a streaky guy. Has a little bit of issues in terms of his accuracy, but when he gets on, he's streaky, man. He can make any throw out there with anybody. Big arm, definitely pay him. What's crazy is he's currently like in the top five in terms of quarterbacks in terms of their deals. His deal is not like Dalton and Kaepernick, where there's basically a bunch of 1 or 2 year deals built into it, and a bunch of incentives and bonuses. It is what it is. $60 million guaranteed. $67 million will be paid in the first 3 years. Bonuses. $31 million the first year. It was a year for him, so he definitely got paid. He did his thing. Keep him moving along. Oh, what's crazy, I think he's in the top three. He's worth all the money. But we still got to look at a guy like Russell Wilson, who's probably getting his extension this year because they can't really they couldn't offer him the one-year thing because he was a third-round pick. So they have to get his extension done this year. And shoot, if Cam got 103, I'm thinking he's the least worth 115, 120 maybe. Been to 2 Super Bowls. Been to the playoffs every year of his career. 115, definitely. I don't know if he's going to take a discount, get some more guarantees and take a discount. I don't know, but he's definitely worth it. And then Andrew Luck, man, in terms of him and where he's going, what money he's going to get. Now, I like Andrew Luck, and I think he's supremely gifted and he's supremely talented. I know he hasn't had an offensive line that he really, really needs, and he hasn't had a running game. But receiver-wise, he's been had pretty much everything that he needs, and he still only has the playoffs of 1, maybe 2 playoff wins.
Okay, well, here's the thing, Carl.
I know he's talented, but to me, they make it seem like he's going to get so much more money than Russell Wilson.
And I slightly have a problem with that. I'm not saying you or I am making that assumption, but when you listen to people talk, and they talked about Cam, and they're like, well, yeah, and then, you know, you got Russell who's coming up this year, and blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't know if they're saying that because Luck was a first-round pick, and
there
maybe,
you go.
I don't
That's
know. No. I'm only talking about money. I want to talk about that in a minute, but I'm talking about money right now. Like, maybe he's going to, because he's a number one pick, and he started off higher than what Russell did, he's going to get higher, but it doesn't make sense to me. But people say, like, yeah, Russell's worth this. If Cam got that, then Russell's worth this. And then, because you got to realize that Andrew Luck, because he was a first-round pick, they are going to be able to extend his contract for one more year, and they don't have to give him an extension until next season when some of the money kicks in as well. So with that being said, they're saying that he may break the bank or something. Now, how much would you pay him? Would you pay him any more than Russell Wilson?
Well, here's the thing. He's going to get paid. He got paid this year. His, I think 56 of his money was guaranteed. I have a $104 million contract. So we'll say $56 million is guaranteed. So he had a $106 million contract, which is good, and the incentives, everything else. Yes, Cam Newton is worth it.
Now, hold on. Who are you talking about now?
Cam Newton.
Okay.
Yeah, $56 million of his contract was guaranteed up front, so, which is good, which I think he's worth, okay? We both know how these contracts are, you know, saying that, you know, later on down the line, something might expire or, you know, he might may not make something. He might not get the whole $106 million. Now, Russell Wilson, they didn't redo his contract this year, but he has this is not the contract year. He has another year. If that man leads them.
He doesn't. They need to have they need to extend him this year. He doesn't, because he wasn't a first-round pick. They get when team get the option on you for your fifth year. They've been to playoffs and then two Super Bowls, right?
Okay.
This is going to be his fourth year. This is it. That's why his extension has to be before training camp.
Okay. Well,
they only get to offer that year, like you put fairly right. We didn't offer him that option. You only get that. You only get to throw that at your first round pick. So this is his fourth year. This is his last year. His contract.
If they don't extend him, okay, can he leave?
Yeah. That's why they're going to extend him.
No. They're going to extend him, and yes, they're going to pay him Cam Newton money. You know, you see what I'm saying? They're going to pay this man. Because
That's not my question. My question is, they say Cam is worth this. Okay, so Cam is worth that. Russell's going to get more. I agree with you there. They're going to probably give him more. But they say then Andrew Luck, whose deal is going to come next year, because they can offer their fifth-year option on him. He's the number one pick.
Okay, yeah.
His deal is going to be worth more than Russell Wilson's. Like, they're like, okay, well, Russell's going to get more than Cam because he's been in two Super Bowls. And then when Andrew Luck comes, oh, my goodness, he's going to be – I'm like, Andrew Luck hasn't done anything.
That's the nature of the beast of playing in the NFL. That's the only way I can put it. He hasn't done anything, but I'm going to tell you one thing he's been. He's been in the playoffs since he came into the NFL. But that's why Russell Wilson is going to
And Russell should have
two Super Bowls. You can't sit up here and say, next year, I understand it, but listen, you can't sit up there and say, okay, well, Russell Wilson is this, because Russell Wilson is going to beat, because right now Cam Newton is what, the highest quarterback in the NFL right now?
No.
Correct?
He's somewhere in the top five. I don't know exactly
who's in the top five. Okay, well, cool. He's in the top five. I guarantee Russell Wilson's contract exceeds this contract, okay, to make him.
We don't have a disagreement there.
You know what I'm saying? Now, the thing is with Luck, he's a first-round pick, yes. He's been in the playoffs three years in a row? You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, the thing is, you can't sit up there and say, okay, because Russell Wilson is higher than Cam Newton, Andrew Luck has got to get higher money, higher paid than Russell Wilson. You know, so I think their contracts might match or might exceed just a little bit. Not that much more. That's all I'm saying. Because
who
just like
are you
said,
speaking
yeah, this
of?
Man should say it again.
Who are you speaking
of? I'm talking about as far as Andrew Luck's contract is going to be compared to Russell Wilson's.
We already know Russell Wilson.
That's my point. You pay on merit. You just don't pay just because, okay, well, his contract is left, is over his, and then I'm going to pay him more. No, you pay on merit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Sue got that bread because he earned it. Now, my thing is this. How is everyone saying Andrew Luck is worth so much more money, so all this money? I'm not saying he's not a good player, but he has not done what Russell Wilson has done.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean,
he's been a three. Russell's been in the league 3 years. He's been a three playoff. He's been to two Super Bowls. He should have won two Super Bowls. He's got one win. So why is it that everybody's talking about Andrew Luck is going to break the bank, and they're not talking about how this boy is going to break the bank?
Well, my thing is, I would say like this. I mean, I actually think Russell Wilson should be, like, right there as one of the top highest quarterbacks play, because you said it yourself. The boy, he should have two Super Bowl wins. I don't know what the hell his coach was thinking, but, hey, you know what I'm saying? And that's how it should be.
I'm sorry to cut you off. The contention is that Russell played with a much better team around him, which, to some degree, yes.
He's a better defense maybe around him, yes.
Defense, definitely. But they're talking about the running back position. You know, some of that is Russell being a running threat himself. You know what I'm saying? Taking some of that attention away. So they help each other. They feed off each other. But skill position-wise, I mean, this guy has been loaded, and Russell really hasn't had anyone. Golden Tate was his best receiver, and Golden didn't even top 1,000 with him.
Right.
So,
here's my question. I mean, if you look at it like this.
Go ahead, though.
You take Russell Wilson. You put him on the Colts. You take Luck. Put him on the Seahawks. What results will you get?
Probably the same results.
Okay. So you say these two quarterbacks are integral. They're just basically the same. Except for one thing is Russell Wilson will be running more with the Colts because they don't have a running game. That's the only thing I think would be the downfall with Russell Wilson going to the Colts.
We don't know what he would be. We don't know what he would be as a thrower, because he would be throwing to T.Y. Hilton. He's had Reggie White.
Yeah.
He's had Fleener. Now we're going to see a little bit this year because we got Jimmy Graham over there now. And I also think that they're going to start relying on him because Marshawn Lynch is on his way on his way out the door. I just want to give you a time reminder. I want to slow us down, but we got 25 more minutes. And we got a couple things. We got the fantasy lottery tickets. I got a couple more NFL notes and a couple off-season NFC storylines. I'll keep that to a minimum. Well, go ahead, though. Rock on.
No, all I'm saying was that as far as with the Colts, and I'm going to wrap up what I was going to say. Andrew Luck there, you see him run, but he doesn't run as much as Russell Wilson. You know what I'm saying? Andrew Luck also doesn't have a reliable running back. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking that Andrew Luck is more of a pure passer. Okay, he sits back and lets it rip. He's your typical Peyton Manning 3.5 because he can run a little bit, you know, so he can extend the pocket and extend the play a little bit more and get more out of it. He's a pure thrower, you know what I'm saying, and he also has a lot of talent. You're right, he has an exceptional amount of talent. We just realized that Russell Wilson now, not to knock him, but we just showed in the Super Bowl right here that he has a good arm and he's more accurate than we thought brought that receiver, the big guy, brought him to light, the one that was catching on them deep passes, you know what I'm saying? Because you're right, he did have Golden Tate over there, and Tate didn't get 1,000 yards receiving. So I think this year you're going to see Russell Wilson take more of that type of offense as Luck does this year. He's going to be more of a passer with a better running game, but they're going to phase Lynch out, but they got to make sure they develop for years to come, because Lynch is gone after this year, or in 2 years. So, I mean, that's what they're going to say about that as far as the contract goes. I think they should have the same amount of money because Andrew Luck was a first-round pick. So you can't sit there and he's been successful as a first-round pick. He knows he's not a dud. So I think, yeah, he does. I think he's going to get about the same amount of money.
Okay. All right. Johnny Manziel.
I know you're not a Yo fan. Any repercussions, man, for him throwing the water bottle at the young man?
Nah, man, this is another foolish mistake. Okay. You know what? Come on. I go with Manziel, does it? It's, oh, man, he's got some frustration. He's getting hackled. And it's okay. But with somebody like, let's say here, a Cam Newton or a Michael Vick, or, shoot, I'll bring back old school, Donovan McNabb, or my man this year come out of Florida State. What they do is, oh, they got anger issues, or he a thug, or we need counsel, or we need this. Johnny Manziel's been more crap in the NFL and getting more breaks than any other person I've seen so far.
I'm going to tell you like this, man. It was one deciding factor on those folks you named. I'll let you in the audience figure it out, the difference between them and Johnny Manziel. But I'm tired of Johnny Manziel. I don't want any more news about Johnny Manziel.
That's a boy, though.
Unless it's about him completing some passes, him picking up an offense, him competing for the job, because he's, I didn't know he was on dope and on and drink. I didn't know he was on lean.
He was on order.
I didn't know, man. He couldn't pick up the playbook, man. I didn't know he was just loose like that. I didn't know that, man.
I told you the boy couldn't do it.
Real quick.
I said he should have played by running around throwing the ball deep. That's all he knew. A basic offense.
Okay, so
he couldn't take the grips of it.
Real quick, we're gonna keep it moving. Real quick. Manning brothers lose both of their respective left tackles. Will Beatty is out the rest of the season with a knee injury. Clady is out the rest. The rest of the season with an ACL injury. I don't know if that Beatty injury was an arm injury or a knee injury. Both of them are out though. Looks like for the foreseeable future in the season. So that's going to affect both of those guys. Pass game, run game, all that good stuff. I'm gonna tell you something real quick. The Giants, man, watch them in that division. I know they just took this loss, but they drafted the guy, Flowers, out of Miami, the tackle. Some people say he's going to start off at right tackle. Watch those guys. They got Odell Beckham. They got Victor Cruz coming back. They had a third receiver. His name escapes me right now. There's Reuben Randall. That's it, Reuben Randall over there as well. A couple good running backs. Signed Shane Vereen. Need some help on the defensive side of the ball, but that division is kind of wide open. Watch those guys. Last but not least, this will be near and dear to your heart. MSU players are making some noise on OTAs. Wide receiver Keith Mumphrey has made a good impression in the Houston OTAs. He was initially expected to just to contend for a return job and make the roster. He may now push to get on the field as a third or fourth receiver over there in Houston. As you know, they lost Andre Johnson over there, and it's in some stiff competition, but let's see what he can do. Tony Lippett, playing cornerback for the Miami Dolphins, is 6'3",
mm-hmm.
showing great ability. He picked off three passes on Monday. He still presents, he's still in the battle. This is only OTAs. Still in the battle for a position, a roster spot on that team. But I just want to let you know those boys were turning heads in the OTA. Real quick, man, give me one or two storylines, NFC-wise, man, that you are looking at this offseason, you evaluating it, and why you're evaluating it. What's it going to mean in the end?
Well, one we talked about, looking at Minnesota, say itself. The NFC, though, this is what I'm looking at right now out of the whole NFC. I want to see, honestly, what the Arizona Cardinals are doing over there. I keep talking about Seattle. San Francisco took a big step back. Arizona is quiet. You don't hear nothing about them. You don't hear all the moves they're making and nothing like that. I look at the Cardinals like this team is going to be one of those teams that I can't say it was underneath the radar, Carl, because they were 10-6, but I think they're going to be one of the teams that make an explosion. They picked up a running game, and that's the team you want to be scared of. And another one is my other one that you know is near to my heart, and the Atlanta Falcons. We talked about it. We texted about it. We was kicking it. The running back over there, running back for Indiana, is doing his thing. I told you, the running game, where the running backs go, I keep an open ear and see what they're doing. And you know, that's something I like to hear. You know what I'm saying? I'm hearing he's competing for the starting position. He's balling, he's banging, and they're very highly impressed with him as well.
Yeah, they say it's going to be a competition. That's definitely one I'm going to watch. I'm not surprised. I'm kind of glad you said Atlanta, because I look at Atlanta, and they have a team that can possibly offensively really, really be explosive. They've been putting some pieces together on the offensive line the last couple of years. They added Tevin Campbell. Tevin Coleman.
Tevin Coleman, yeah.
Freeman. And, you know, Roddy White, Julio Jones had a big year last year, over 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns. For his first time in a long time playing almost all of the games. I think he still missed one there. And Roddy White, getting older, you know, slowed down a little bit. Still was able to give those guys over 900 yards and 7 touchdowns. They lost Harry Douglas in free agency. So he's got a couple weapons. They added a running game to it and improved the offensive line. Dan Quinn is now the coach there. They got to coach him up on defense to get him ready. But a couple things I want to look at, I want to keep it in the wild, wild east, as I call it, because I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know if Philly is going to be able to do their thing. Sam Bradford is going to be the quarterback for the whole year or not. Dallas, I really think that they have a nice roster, especially offensively, except for the running back position. The whole thing about last year that put them kind of in position to have success was to being able to run the football, use DeMarco Murray, not only in the run game but in the short passing game as well. McFadden's not sold on. I did like Randall and Lumpen and Lance Dunbar. I did like both of those guys. I'm going to say it early. I would not surprise me if both of those guys beat out McFadden, and McFadden is cut over there. I think the only reason he's over there is because he's an Arkansas Razorback, which is, you know, Jerry Jones' alma mater.
I think the only reason why he's over there is they thought they were going to give my man. That's why I think he's over there. I thought it was Adrian Peterson.
He's very he's very gifted in terms of his skill set, but been super fragile. So I'm definitely looking at the NFC East, and then I look at the Washington situation. Defense needed some help. They got some young corners. They added a pass rusher. Added some offensive line help. They added a running back to go along with Alfred Morris, and then solid receiving core. The question mark is what RG3 can do. Is he a basket case? Is he the next Freeman who has the one great year and then falls off? Or can he regain his glory? And then I told you about the Giants and what all they have. They have a lot of firepower. So NFC East is my first area that I'm looking at. And then I'm looking at our division. The storylines, I'm going to tell you, the Lions – I am, for the first time in a long time, preseason-wise, intrigued, because I don't know what I'm going to get with them. I don't know if we're going to take a step back. I don't know if we're going to be just as good. I don't know if we possibly can be better. I just don't know, and I think that's intriguing. But I just want to keep it moving, man. We got 12 more minutes, 11 more minutes in the show, and I love this fantasy stuff, man. And I'll be digging deep for it, man.
Let me answer something you said about Washington.
Are you on a speakerphone or something? We can't hear you or something. What's going on?
Okay, can you hear me good now? Okay, let me respond to something you said about Washington. Just real quick, okay, about the quarterback play over there. We all admit he came back too fast because he was injured, you know what I'm saying, RG3. Okay, he tried to rush it for sponsorship. He tried to rush it for fans or anything else. He's been out for 2 years now. I think that knee is all the way healed. To the point, and an ankle was okay, to the point where he can get out there and play his style of football. Okay, after he's going to limit his rushing, he's going to get down. I mean, he can run, but he's going to get down to protect himself a lot more this year because, you know, 2 years in the NFL is better. And I believe he will be that linchpin to make that offense get better. That's all I'm going to say about Washington.
Okay, let's talk about some of the lottery tickets, fantasy lottery tickets. And what we have as a lottery ticket, man, are guys who are really, really off the radar. I want to go down quarterbacks ranked outside of the top 15, running backs ranked outside of the top 25, wide receivers outside of the top 30, tight ends outside of the top 10.
some guys who you don't really expect to make a splash but could, you know, make or break your fantasy season. Maybe get you over the hump during some injury times or maybe be some stars, man. So, L, give me one at the quarterback spot, man.
Let me start with the receiver spot.
We've got about 10 minutes.
Okay, let me start with receiver. Hey, I'm going to tell you receiver first. I didn't do much on quarterbacks because what it is what it is. But it's a rookie is going to come in here and set the NFL on fire. I'm telling you this right now. You heard it first. Everybody out there listening to me, go get Rashard Perriman from the Ravens. Okay, 4-2, 4-3, 40 running. He's taking the spot of – he's taking up the need of somebody who can go get the ball deep. He is going to set the NFL on fire as a receiver of a rookie position. I'm telling you that right now. He's going to be deep in the draft. Get him. That's all I got to say. That's my first person. Go ahead, Carlos. You take the next one.
I go receiver, too. I'm going to tell you this. I had a lot of them, but I'm going old school with my guy, this name, Roddy White. 921 yards and 7 touchdowns. He still can play. He's going to be going against number 2 corners because you got Julio Jones out there. And because of Julio Jones' health situation, you never know when he's going to be out some games. And they did lose Harry Douglas, who was a very effective wide receiver last year. So he could see some of those targets. So I'm going Roddy White at the wide receiver spot. I'll go quarterback too, man, and I'll let you go after that. My quarterback... I know you're going to pick this guy, so I'm going to go with it. I got a couple of them over here, so he wouldn't do the same guy. Quarterback, now this is truly a lottery ticket right here. Geno Smith, every position on that team has been upgraded. Geno Smith. This is out. Remember, quarterbacks outside the top 15. Generally, we in 10 to 12-man leagues, and half the league got a backup, so really it should be about 18. So I went deep, man. Geno Smith. Slash Ryan Fitzpatrick, who wins the job in the on the Jets. They have upgraded the wide receiver position. They added Brandon Marshall and Devin Smith of Ohio State. They added Zach Stacy and Stephen Ridley to the running back position. They took some lottery picks on some fantasy lottery tickets on some guys. And that offensive line is solid. So the talent is there around those guys to produce. So it just depends on them. Who you got at the quarterback spot?
This is going to freak you out, though. Ryan Tannehill out of Miami. I think that team is – I'm telling you about Miami. Miami, I was going to – I like – I was talking about Buffalo at first, but, you know, EJ May, I don't think he's going to start. I think Matt Castle might take his spot. So I'm going to go with somebody over there off the wall. Ryan Tannehill or – yeah, I'll leave it like that. I was going to say Blake Bortles, but this guy's one of those teams that was crappy.
Now, Ryan, I'm going to let you slide with him, man, because he was a top 10 quarterback last year, and he ranked pretty high this year. But go ahead. I thought you was going to pick Carson Palmer. That's where I thought you was going to go. But go ahead. So I'll let you have him.
I think, honestly, Carson Palmer's going to, you know what, he gets injured so much. He got injured last year. And they seen that they, you know, with him being out for so many games, that, you know, he still was, you know, they were still winning. You know what I'm saying?
They got lucky a couple times. They beat the Lions 14-6. They were very lucky that game. They had some very timely plays. Their defense played big time. Their defense took some hits, though. They lost Cromartie at one of the cornerback spots.
Yeah.
Darnell Dockett went over to he was injured last year, too, but he went over to San Francisco. They had a couple other unsung guys. Tyrann Mathieu is going to be out there now. So I don't know if they're going to have a pass rusher, but the defense did play well last year, and that was key. But it's going to be interesting, though. I like Carson out there, man. I like him. He's got some weapons around it. Let's talk about the running back position, your spot.
I already told you one of my speakers already. I mean, my man from
I'm sick of that's cool. I'll take it from here because I got a couple of them. Running back,
I mean, Joseph Randle.
I said whoever wins, or Lance Dunbar, whoever wins Dallas' job will have a great line, a good QB, and a great supporting cast. Another guy, Ryan Matthews. DeMarco Murray, last year was the first year that he stayed relatively healthy. Bryan Matthews has injury issues of his own, and if DeMarco gets hurt, this guy has the potential to be special with a decent offensive line, a coach that loves to run the football, and a solid offense around him. I don't know who's going to play quarterback over there, and if Mr. Frazier can stay playing quarterback, Mark Sanchez may be over there playing quarterback before the year is over. Last but not least, whoever wins the Tennessee job, and here's a name that you put me up on, and you really love. You came off of him after the draft, after he ran the 4.8. But whoever wins the Tennessee job, Bishop Sankey is there, who was drafted in the second round last year.
Yeah,
they drafted
your
fifth round this year, David Kyle from Minnesota. And here's the rub.
Yeah.
You told me he ran a 4.86, which he did. But the guy pulled up lame near the end with a pulled hammy and didn't do the rest of the drills there. So he actually hurt himself. He could be a little bit faster. But the bottom line is they got a young quarterback over there. They're going to run the football. Going to see probably a little bit more zone read, which I think helps the running backs out a little bit more. They're going to try to protect the football. Bishop Sankey last year came on at the very last three or four games of the year. Kind of light went off. He showed a little bit of that speed and that quickness. Wizard Hunt is asking to add a little bit of weight because he needs you to be a little bit stronger and power in between the tackles, and that's where David Cobb comes in. Because if Bishop Sankey can't do it or don't like it, Cobb will get in there. But whoever wins that job, I think, has ability to be special. The tight end spot was a real tough
spot. Hold on. My bad. Let me backtrack, though. We didn't mention you didn't mention Melvin Gordon from the Chargers. That's a running back. That's a rookie.
He's in the top 25. This is for guys' lottery tickets. He's an outside.
And,
the top
hold on, party. And TJ Yeldon. He's not a top 25. You know what I'm saying? That's another
top
somebody
out. In the top 25 for running backs. That's what we're looking at. Every ranking thing that you look at, he's in the top 25.
No, we're ranking him before the top 32.
Huh?
Go ahead.
We'll talk about the rookie running back. It was a good class for rookie running back. But tight ends, though. Let's talk about tight ends real quick. A couple guys I like. Delanie Walker, from Tennessee. People slept on him. He had 890 yards receiving. He only had 5 touchdowns. Was a pretty consistent target guy. Was basically their second-best receiver outside of Kendall Wright. And, again, young quarterback, what do they like? Running back and the tight ends. You got a tight end you want to name for us? You want Ebron?
No, hell no. Really? No, I can mess with him. No, I was looking at Dennis Peters, Max Williams. They both they ranked number 16, 17 right there for Baltimore. Baltimore's running game, we don't know what the running game is going to look like next year as far as they let – what's the name go? Who's that they just let go? They let one of their running backs go. They still got Justin Forsett there. But I think they're going to kind of do some, you know, a deep threat and over middle threat, and that's what they're going with their tight ends play. They're gonna miss out in the middle.
Pitta's got a hip injury that they're coming off.
Okay,
we down to
we got
the last 60 seconds of the show, man. Give us some last words here, man, before we get on off of here.
I want to shout out to my son Elliot, turned 6. This Saturday coming up, happy birthday, little man. You know, what I'm saying, mini me. And, you know, we're going to have David Boston kicking it. That's it. Huh?
Yeah. Y'all going to be doing what, man?
We're going to be kicking it, David Boston.
Oh, David Boston. Okay, I couldn't hear you, man. I don't know if something in your mouth. I don't know what was going on over there.
Oh, shut up, man. Ellie's birthday is Saturday. Shante's birthday is Sunday. Happy birthday to my son and my sister.
I'm out. Happy birthday, man. Yeah. Birthday, Shante. Hey, real folks, check us out on the archive. As well as next Wednesday night, Blog Talk Radio, baby, all day long. Check us on out. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Heading out of here. Holla at you.
Have you all along, girl?